Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Good morning, Memphis. It's Drew Hill filling in for Jeff Calkins on 92.9 FM ESPN. Jeff is in Michigan doing tree hugger things. He'll be back at some point next week, I believe, but he will be out this week. I have Jeffrey back from his little trip to the West Coast.
Indeed.
We will talk to Charles Fishman today, Fish on Friday on Tuesday in the second hour. And we will talk to Chris Harrington, as we always do, at 10 o'clock, my colleague at the Daily Memphian, and now my competitor in the Barnes & Noble newsstands, I learned. And I completed my Athlon magazine Grizzlies preview yesterday. I'll share some thoughts on that later with Chris and get into all things Grizzlies. But first of all, Jeffrey, welcome back.
Thank you.
How was the trip?
Trip was great. San Diego's definitely my favorite city in California. Got to hang out with some college buddies, played some bad golf, and then we went to the Padres Cardinals game. Really, the Padres were on the field while the Cardinals were just playing a glorified 4A team.
I've never been to Petco Park.
It's great.
I am a big baseball fan. I have been to more than 20 of the ballparks, and that is the one, and I believe it's still T-Mobile in Seattle.
Those are two of my favorites.
I have not been to that. I'm really dying to go to. What is the best thing about Petco Park? Is it top? Where is it on the list for you? Have you been to very many?
It's in the elite tier. So let's see. Going through. I've gone to Boston. I don't really have a lot of the AL East. Kansas City, then in the AL West, I've done everywhere except the artist formerly known as Oakland or now Sacramento. I guess I should qualify. I've been to the ballpark at Arlington. I've not been to Globe Life, whatever the new one is. I've been to Coors, Dodger Stadium, Petco, the artist formerly known as Pac Bell, Cardinals, Pittsburgh, Milwaukee, Cincy,
Chicago.
Wrigley. I've cleared out the AL Central. I've not been to Truist. So I guess I've been to half.
Okay, so this is in the elite tier.
This is in the elite tier. I don't know about you, but I'm also a ballpark food enthusiast.
Okay.
And so my deal is when I go to a ballpark, I want you to like serve me up like your best of like what you do. Not so not like hot dogs from somewhere. So we started off, it was called an elote dog, and basically it was a
I love some elote. I imagine that's very good.
It was a
corn on it.
It was a bacon wrapped hot dog with street corn on top. Fabulous. And then there were some tacos I got around the seventh inning that were also fabulous.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I believe it's just Rate Field now in Chicago.
Yeah, was it Guaranteed Rate, I think, or something like that?
I think it's just Rate now.
Okay.
I don't know. Terrible ballpark. I don't like it. Like, I shouldn't say terrible. It's fine.
Well, it's funny.
But amazing food there.
It's
amazing
funny that
food.
It
makes the experience.
We were talking about it last week when Sam had the story about the renovating of AutoZone Park. Whatever, the artist formerly known as Comiskey, or New Comiskey, is actually in that sweet spot of when we started renovating stadiums. Everyone's like, this is way better. Like, with it's right there with Ballpark and, or whatever, Camden Yards, now whatever Jacobs Field is now, Progressive, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Progressive Field. And we just kind of brush that one aside because, like, nobody really likes it.
Yeah, no. It's not my favorite, but amazing food. If we're going ballpark food, I think, you know, that in terms of just the potential eats and desserts and stuffing your face with all kinds of things that you shouldn't that are terrible for you, I do think that the White Sox have a very good thing going there.
You can also get there pretty cheap.
Yeah. No. And I like Pittsburgh. I mean, Pittsburgh is just a great ballpark in general, but they got the Primanti Brothers, which is the fries on the burger sandwich. So
I've always said is, yeah. PNC, I think, is the most underrated ballpark.
It's
fabulous.
It's just rough because the team is so bad.
Correct.
year in and year out, and the crowds are pretty thin, but the ballpark itself is beautiful. But no, I would imagine Petco would probably come into the top tier just based on watching on television. But yeah, I mean, I'm more of a traditionalist. I'm a Fenway, Wrigley, Camden Yards. I actually like the new Yankee Stadium. Lots of people don't, but
yeah.
I do. But yeah, I would love to one day. I've never been to San Diego in general, but I would love to one day get out to Petco. So I'm very jealous of you that you.
I would say the only negative is that the only place you can really see the water is kind of behind the stadium. So like normally you think of like that was kind of the era in which we were trying to get the waterfront involved. The thing that I will tip my cap to San Diego entirely, Drew, this thing felt like a playoff game. Like, it's a Sunday afternoon at 1:10.
And they went all in.
And they did go all in, and everyone was excited, and there was a buzz. But, I mean, it was not quite, like, every seat wasn't taken, but it was shocking how many people were there, and they hit a home run in the fifth inning, and it sounded like a bomb went off. Like, it was so loud. I was very, very impressed.
One I don't want to leave out. Oracle in San Francisco.
Yeah,
wherever.
I call it the artist formerly known as Pac Bell or whatever.
Amazing. When the Grizzlies played the Warriors in the playoff series a few years ago, we had the opportunity. The Giants actually hooked up a lot of folks involved with the Grizzlies and gave us some seats, and it was that was an amazing experience as well. All right. We are in the middle of sports summer. Sports.
What did I miss?
I mean, not much.
Because I unplugged. This is one of the best, I would say, I unplugged. And I guess it's a little bit easier. When you go multiple time zones away.
Yeah. Well, this is not a time for the week.
Yeah.
If you're a sports fan, because this is exactly when you have to get through. We're getting closer, though.
Yeah.
Because we have NFL preseason coming this weekend. You won't go another Sunday for the rest of the year.
I did win my first preseason bet.
There you go. Hall of Fame game?
Yep. I just said, wait a minute. This is a game that they're keeping score and Harbaugh's on one sideline. He's going to try and score.
That was probably a good bet. We had some wonderful Hall of Fame speeches. But in the spirit of the NFL preseason getting here, let's play Believe It or Not. All right, Jeffrey. Tonight is a big night. I wish we had the music. I don't know if you have the Hard Knocks music in the background. The Bills are the Hard Knocks star of the show this year. They now do these three different Hard Knocks. They do the in-season Hard Knocks. They do the off-season Hard Knocks. But this is the only Hard Knocks, in my opinion, that really matters, is the training camp Hard Knocks. There we go. Perfect. So believe it or not, Jeffrey, the Bills will be one of the best Hard Knocks in history. One of. I'm not saying they have to be the best. They got to be one of the best.
So I'm going to say I don't believe this simply because even though I'm like, I told my wife, I looked up, I was like, oh, we got Hard Knocks tonight. And my wife's a Bills fan. And so it's obviously something to look forward to because they'll have the sounds. It'll look like training camp. I just think that now Hard Knocks is so controlled by the teams that what actually has made Hard Knocks interesting forever has gone away. Like, it's the, when we used to really get, like, in the meeting rooms, you got to really see practice footage and whatnot. When they had all of that, it's just, you can't do any better than that because it's such, it's a drama in of itself. Now it's almost like they don't even want to show guys getting cut.
Yeah, that it has progressively gotten worse over the years. I think that there are some that are mixed in that have been really good. The Lions' Hard Knocks season was very good, I thought. The Bears last year, very disappointing. Part of that might be Matt Eberflus and the fact that he just wasn't a very entertaining character. But
it was tough last year when you realized, like, when he brought Saban in to, like, talk to him, and you're like, oh, the Bears coach should be Nick Saban. Right. You're like, he was, like, coaching the coach, and you're like, this is probably the guy that should be the head coach of the Bears.
Exactly. I have some hope for this Bills Hard Knock season because I think Josh Allen is one of the most entertaining people. He's funny. Like, if you follow, like, what he does on the internet, he's done all kinds of different interviews. He's been on Pardon My Take, which is the mm-hmm. big Barstool podcast, so many times, and they're always cracking jokes with him. And I just think that he has... Having him be the lead player in this is going to make it somewhat interesting. I wonder if they're going to do the James Cook holdout. I wonder if they're going to even note it, if it's going to be a part of it, or if that's something they're just going to pass over.
It's a hold-in. Okay. He's at camp.
Sorry. It's a hold-in.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff would be correcting me right now.
Of course,
now.
Yes.
And then, like, is McDermott really that interesting? Is it going to – I don't – know the answer to that, and I think the coach kind of makes the show to some degree. So I'm with you. I do not believe that this is going to be one of the best Hard Knocks, simply because it feels like every year it just gets dialed back and dialed back with less access and less access. You know, I thought the best part of the whole season last year when they did the Bears was them doing the Michael Jordan introduction that got everybody fired up, and it was like, oh, and that's so cool. But then there really, in terms of content, wasn't all, like, I love the funny stuff of the guys dancing in the locker rooms that they used to show, and I love the names escaping me, Lions running back, who was saying, you know, you want to piss like a puppy, stay on the porch.
It was the guy that they ended up, I think he ended up, did he end up at the Packers? Is it?
Or Saints.
Was it Williams?
Yes, and then the first name is.
But it's obviously not Montgomery, and it wasn't Gibbs. It was, I think it was Williams.
It was first name I can't come up with. Anyway, I just think that they've dialed back Hard Knocks quite a bit. I'm still gonna watch it. I'm gonna watch it in its entirety. I'm very excited to go home and watch it tonight.
It's kind of the kickoff, also. Like, I know people say, like, the Hall of Fame. This Hard Knocks for me is really the kickoff of preseason.
Yes,
because they film training camp. You got the sounds, the sights.
There's something about that music that honestly just makes you so ready for football. And I don't know what it is in general, but I feel like we are so blessed to have amazing lead-in music across the NFL.
The NFL Films music department is criminally underrated.
Yes. Amazing. Okay. Next topic here. Jeffrey, you were not here yesterday, so you did not have to answer for the sins of your guy.
Oh, no.
Believe it or not, Rory McIlroy skipping the FedEx St. Jude Championship is no big deal.
So it's obviously post-Masters been kind of a tough little stretch to be a Rory McIlroy guy. Hasn't exactly presented himself great. To say it's no big deal, I think you can say this. It's no big deal to him because he's already won three of these and he's now at the stage in his career where it's like,
I don't care what he thinks. I care what we think. The people of Memphis. This is a Memphis sports talk radio show.
When I told my wife was like, he shouldn't be able to play in the next round. She's like, he should forfeit a spot. And honestly, I didn't really have much of a comeback for that. Like, they've cut it down to three tournaments. It used to be four. And it used to be everyone's like, well, it's too long. And traditionally, the first event was played up in New York. And a lot of people would skip that because it was the 125 down to, I think at that point, it was like to the top 100. So if you were in the 125, you didn't have to play it. I just think it's not great for the tour. Like, in the end, what are we wanting to see? It's like, we want to see Scotty and Rory. We want to see, like, them going at it for something, and he's just skipping the first event, and I think it's just another bad look. So many golfers, I feel like, just kind of lose sight of the plot because they're so deep into their own careers and their own quote-unquote brand and business that you kind of forget, like, what we actually care about is watching the guys compete. We don't really care how much money they do or don't make. Like, yeah, I'm fine with saying the money is a part of the story because, like, that's what they're playing for. That's fine if it's in the spirit of the competition. But we don't, like, actually care when they just say, like, well, I'm just into the next round, so I'm just going to go play that.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
I believe that this is a big deal, simply because this has the potential to create future problems for our tournament here in Memphis. Because of the PGA's rule changes, we went over them yesterday extensively, but essentially the Tour Championship, you used to be able to get a head start based on where you finished in FedEx Cup points. Now they've eliminated that. Everyone's going to be starting at even par at Eastlake. And for that reason, and they give the bonuses out now before the playoffs start, so there's no incentive money-wise to play there. So I just feel like, if Rory's willing to do it this year, what's stopping Scotty from doing it next year? Or
so the only
Colin Morikawa or Xander Schauffele or anybody that's in the top five of the FedEx Cup points that knows that they're not going to be outside of the top 30.
And I do not want to come off as a Rory apologist right now. The only pushback I would say is I think that the tour is going to have a bunch of changes coming up in the next few years. And so I'm kind of throwing this out as an outlier because this is like the end of a system that they're kind of cycling out of. And so now once you start getting SST in or SSG in, which is the private equity firm that's like putting up $2 billion, once that money starts coming in, let me tell you one thing I know about private equity companies. They are going to make sure their best players play. And so it's one of those ones where I'm not necessarily drawing the direct correlation between this year and the future because I think a lot of things are just going to get revamped. Now, what I am concerned about is oftentimes when private equity companies also get involved, they throw their weight around of where they want these tournaments to be played. That concerns me more than Rory not showing up this week.
Do you wish Rory would put out like a statement that said something along the lines of like, you know, the tour's been, it's been a long year. You know, it's really hot. You know, my body's just tired and I'm trying to be ready for Eastlake and I need this week off to prepare to get ready for something like that. Or do you think just saying I'm not going and then the silence is good enough?
So I think if he says anything and gets picked apart, because the last time we saw him was the Open, which is what now 3 weeks ago. Is that extra week really going to help? And then on top of that, it's like, well, it's hot. Well, you live most of the year in South Florida. Like, you're going to go practice there, right? I mean, so I think it would get picked apart no matter what. The problem with Rory is I think he has felt, A, I have no idea what's going on in the personal life. The marriage thing has always been weird to me. We're getting divorced, and then all of a sudden we're not getting divorced. It basically was like my attorneys basically told me that the prenup wasn't that good. So like that's been kind of a weird thing that's been hanging like over basically him since the Masters, when like they were trying to do the family thing, but it just came across as like cold and awkward. So he's had that going on. But then on top of that, it's like, I guess because he felt that he was used by the tour to be the mouthpiece and the puppet, and then all of a sudden they're making deals with the Saudis, although how's that deal going? He has felt burned, and so it feels like everything he's doing is kind of an F you to the tour itself.
He's the PGA Tour bad boy right now, for sure.
But it's not, like, charming, and also he's not really making clear, like, what he's actually, like, fighting for. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think it just feels like he's just, it just comes across as, like, whiny.
Yes. It strikes me as, like, I hate that I'm even making this comparison. Maybe I shouldn't. But, like, just, I have friends that have young kids that just say no to everything. Maybe you know that feeling.
Oh,
and
boy,
it just
do
feels
I.
Like Rory's just saying no because at this point. It's just no because. There's no logic behind it other than I just don't like you right now. So I don't want to do this. And to me, it's just a little upsetting. It's disappointing. I think I didn't get the chance to ask you. Scotty Scheffler still main attraction, or do you think if Rory was out there, he'd be just as big?
So Scotty's in this weird camp where I thought pretty much all along Scotty's path to being endeared by fans was just going to be to win. And now he is getting to that level. And so I think Rory's still probably more popular, but it feels like he's going in one direction and Scotty's going the complete opposite direction.
Who's number two this week in terms of draw? It's an interesting question. I don't know if there's a good answer to it. I was thinking about this yesterday.
All right, let's think of the options. Xander?
I thought he might be the answer.
But, I mean, do you think of Xander as like a draw? I mean, he's obviously a very good player.
He's popular among young people. Like, I know a few folks that are probably 3-4 years younger than me that are big Xander Schauffele fans. Maybe it's just personal experience, but it feels like he does have an audience that's maybe a little bit younger. The folks that kind of missed the glory days of Rory.
Yeah, so like this is the problem. Let's go through the top of the FedEx Cup standings. So Scotty's going to be clear one. Two is Rory, and he's not here. Three's the septic tank, Sepp Straka. Russ Henley is four. Russ is my age. JT, I guess, probably should be in that category. Fleetwood is a popular player. Keegan's the Ryder Cup captain. And then you're going to have the weird Ryder Cup. Is he playing? Which I think at this point, it seems like he is playing. Like, it seems like he's going to pick himself. But, I mean, that's kind of the other thing. It's like, who are the five biggest guys in golf right now? I think it's Scotty, Rory, Bryson, Rahm, maybe?
Rahm, probably still. Although it hasn't been that pretty in the majors this year. So it'll be interesting. I'm going to keep an eye on it to see who's the second most followed this week behind Scotty Scheffler. All right. I need to bring up something else.
All right.
It's near and dear to my heart and get your thoughts on it. Believe it or not, Caleb Williams preseason/camp interceptions don't really matter. There has been an attack on my quarterback, Jeffrey. There's an attack on my quarterback.
Have you talked to Mark?
People don't like my quarterback. No, I haven't talked to Mark.
So Mark went to practice.
Uh-oh.
I guess last Thursday. No, Wednesday. So when's Wednesday? I want to state this. For the believe it or not, I'm going to say I do believe that it's not that big of a deal. Because the problem is you have a new coach that's coming in and trying to set culture. And oftentimes what happens is I saw this with Brian Daboll's first year with Daniel Jones. And Daniel, quote unquote, had a horrible camp. And what they were trying to do was put him in the worst possible scenarios and see how it worked. So we don't know like what the actual intention of practice is for Caleb. Are they telling him, hey, they're calling certain plays that are not going to work against looks and see if he can actually get through it? Daniel went on to have a pretty good year. Like, he's not the Giants quarterback anymore, but he was pretty good that year. They won a playoff game. And so I'm not as necessarily out on it. I do think what hurts you and Bears fans is because Caleb Williams has a personality that is polarizing at best. Anytime he has an interception at practice, the video just goes viral because everyone just loves to rip on it.
I think part of this is the internet ganging up on him for sure.
I definitely think that is a huge
I think
part.
That has definitely become part of it. It feels like, though, the only person that's willing to come out and defend Caleb Williams is Kyle Brandt of NFL Network, who, by the way, is a noted Bears fan. So I don't know whether or not I should truly be concerned about this, but I don't like seeing videos of Caleb Williams unable to throw a ball into a net about 15 yards away. That is a little bit concerning to me. Feels like you should be able to do that. I'm going to reserve my judgment for the preseason, and I'm going to promise myself this year that I'm not going to overreact. Because if you remember, last preseason, Caleb Williams was unbelievable.
Like, yeah,
he was running out of the pocket, firing balls 40 yards downfield on a dot. I mean, it was so exciting. But like the videos that say like Caleb Williams in midseason form, as Kyle Brandt made, the point that he made was, if he's in midseason form, that's pretty good. He went like 5 or 6 games without throwing an interception and threw for 300 yards several times last year. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I'm just a little concerned at how much of a distraction it's become, because he just, like, if I were Caleb Williams, the internet is just ripping on you 24/7.
Like, that's the other thing. He really wasn't that bad last year. The problem was the guy that got drafted directly behind him was the darling of the league. And also, there was a period where Jaden was either dealing with like a rib or he had some kind of injury where he wasn't that good, but he closed the season incredibly strong and he started the season incredibly strong. And so he just got lumped into that. But it wasn't like he had some type of, you know, Achilles Smith, Joey Harrington type rookie season. He was perfectly fine. And also, do I really think that like Ben Johnson's not going to be able to scheme up some offense that makes him look reasonable? Like, no, I think it's just really fun to gang up on him.
Moving on. The NCAA tournament, believe it or not, the NCAA tournament did the right thing, keeping the tournament at 68 teams. So yesterday, NCAA President Charlie Baker put out a statement saying that they're not going to expand beyond 68 teams, but they're going to continue exploring the option for 2027. And he noted that they have such a great relationship with their television partners. I will go first here. I believe that this is the right thing to keep it at 68 teams. I'm not necessarily, I know there's some people that are like strongly opposed to expanding the tournament. I'm not in that category. I think if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And it seems to be a wonderful product right now. So it's the right decision to keep it at 68. I do wonder, like, do you think that expanding the tournament would be a bad thing for Memphis in theory, or a good thing for Memphis in theory? Because they're going to play, as things are currently set, they play in a league where the conference schedule doesn't matter whatsoever for the Tigers.
It can only hurt them. Yes.
And so there's this immense pressure in the non-conference and early in the season to beat quality teams and get quality wins to help your NCAA tournament seeding. But also, if you don't win those games and there is no way to build resume during the conference schedule, it puts a ton of pressure on the conference tournament to just go win it to make sure that you're in. But in an expanded field, it increases your chances of just being in the tournament, period, if you're a team like Memphis. So I think maybe in theory, and hopefully Memphis doesn't need this, and they shouldn't because they are a good program with a coach that has been proven to make the NCAA tournament. But in theory, I don't think it would be a bad thing for the Tigers if they expanded it.
I kind of think it's neutral, because I just think in general, part of the expansion is, as they mentioned, their television partners. What they're trying to do is they're trying to figure out ways to get more big brands in so they can sell the TV package for even more money. And so I just don't buy into this idea that these spots are going to go to more mid-majors. I think it's going to go to more.
Memphis is enough of a brand.
Yeah. I think the best you can say is, well, I don't think it hurts them, but I'm not convinced that it helps them. Overall, though, I am in favor of this, because it felt like the only reason they were doing this was not to try and make the competition better. It was to try and raise the value of the television product, or raise the cost of the television product. And the biggest reason why they're not doing it is I think they went straight to CBS and Turner, and they're like, hey, well, let's expand the tournament. And Turner's like, great. What are you adding? Because the way we see it, you're not adding new windows to watch games in. All you're doing is just adding more games in the same window. That doesn't really affect us one way or the other.
Right. It's almost like you would need more first four, you know?
It's almost, to me, if they're actually going to make it work, you have to expand the tournament by a week. And so essentially what you'd have to do is wrap up all the conference tournaments a week earlier, start the tournament a week earlier, because CBS has the deal with the Masters where the Masters is always going to pick the week. So the Final Four is always going to finish the week of, you know, Monday night is Monday of Masters week. And so they're going to have to like completely overhaul the schedule. And maybe that's why they're having to keep pushing it down the road, is because everyone's got, they got to figure out the contracts of where they've rented the facilities for the conference tournaments. Can they change the dates of those? Like, you have all these logistical issues that they're trying to figure out, because the only way it makes sense to me that they're actually going to make that much more money is if they expand the tournament by a full week.
Yeah. No, I think at 68, we get, what, 4 or 5 weeks of the NCAA tournament. We get
So if you're just talking pure tournament, so we get first four, whatever we're calling it now, on Tuesday, Wednesday. Then you roll into Thursday. Then you have the Sweet 16 Elite Sunday. Eight, and then you have Final Four weekend.
So that's...
It's 3 weeks.
So it's 3 weeks. But they don't they have some time off in between the Final Four?
No, it's the difference is, so on Elite Eight, Sweet 16 Elite Eight week, we go Thursday through Sunday, and then the Final Four is Saturday night, and then championship game is Monday.
4 weeks wouldn't be bad. I would take more NCAA tournament. Like, I'm not opposed. I'm not like some of the traditionalists on this type of thing. I think it's fine to keep it at 68 teams. I believe that they did the right thing in doing it now. But I'm not going to be one of those people that's going to say, no, please don't give me more March basketball. I'll take as much March basketball as I can possibly get. And so if they end up expanding it, I have no problem with it.
I mean, my biggest problem, though, is we get to around Selection Sunday, and you realize how hard it is picking 68 teams. Like, when we're picking 72 to 76, it's like...
Give us more to talk about. It's fine. Last thing, real quick. I was listening to Unsportsmanlike on the way in here, so I wanted to ask, believe it or not, we will not be talking very much about Dak Prescott this season. They were saying, essentially, we're not... I find it funny. I'm not criticizing them, but I just find it funny because it feels like if you listen to this show, and I'm an avid listener of the Jeff Calkins show, and you tune into Unsportsmanlike beforehand, the national shows, they're always talking about the Cowboys. They're always talking about the Lakers, the Celtics, the biggest brands across sports. That's
ESPN
what they're
playbook.
Talking about. And... So I just find it funny that there was a full-on argument this morning, a debate about whether or not they're going to be talking much about Dak Prescott. Of course they're going to be talking about Dak Prescott, so I do not believe this.
Is there a point in time when the Dallas Cowboys starting quarterback is not interesting, with the exception of injury? So, like, when Dak is hurt, Cooper Rush is not interesting, but he's not... But, like, whether it be Romo, whether it be... Even when it was Drew Bledsoe, like, you go down the list. Whoever the Cowboys' starting quarterback is, that's always going to be a topic of conversation. Oh, by the way, he's now the highest paid player in the league.
Yeah. No, that was part of it, too. But we're not going to talk about him, though, in the same conversation that we're going to talk about the other highest paid players in
no.
the league. And so, I guess that was part of the argument was, well, we're not going to talk about Dak as much as we're going to talk about Mahomes.
Bet we will.
But you're still going to talk about Dak because he's the Dallas Cowboys starting quarterback.
I think the difference for me is you don't talk about him in the same way that you talk about Mahomes.
Is he the face of the Cowboys?
Yeah, he's a starting quarterback. Like, my thing with Dak is everything you want your starting quarterback to be except good.
If you take Jerry Jones out of the equation, is Micah Parsons or Dak bigger? Right now, we're going to talk about Micah Parsons more because of the trade requests and all that's going on. If you eliminate Jerry Jones from this conversation,
it's just so, like, even as great as Micah is, it's the quarterback, and it's just it dominates so much of the conversation.
I think it's the quarterback. So we will be talking about the Dallas Cowboys no matter what, every single season,
forever and
because
always,
because it's the Dallas Cowboys because of that fan base, and they always have drama. Take the over on drama with the Dallas Cowboys. All right, when we come back, we got a coaches poll in college football. I'll also tell you about a new thing that they installed at Overton Park last month. This is Drew Hill filling in for Jeff Calkins on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive.
Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Welcome back. Drew Hill filling in for Jeff Calkins on 92.9 FM ESPN. I will never forget what they took from us, Jeffrey. That song. I don't want to hear that it still exists. I don't want to hear that it's that the Big Ten has it now.
Mm-hmm.
I will never forget that they took that from us. Miserable. Miserable.
CBS, of course, would point out the song existed before the SEC on CBS, but come on. We all know. Like, it's
doesn't matter. That's the SEC's song. It belongs to the SEC, not to CBS. Sorry, CBS. Okay, we got a coaches poll yesterday. The top 25. I'll just go ahead and read you down the top 25. We can react to it after
all right.
That. In order, Texas, Ohio State, Penn State, Georgia, Notre Dame, Clemson, Oregon, Bama, LSU, Miami, Arizona State, Illinois, South Carolina, Michigan, Ole Miss, SMU, Florida, Tennessee, Indiana, Kansas State, Texas A&M, Iowa State, BYU, Texas Tech, and Boise State. The Tigers did receive votes in the coaches poll, which I found to be notable. The team that was just outside of the top 25 was Oklahoma. Oklahoma, by the way, very interesting team. Phil Steele's surprise team of the season, Jeffrey, is the Oklahoma Sooners.
Yeah.
We will see if that turns out to be the case. What was your initial reaction when you saw the poll?
So my initial reaction is I'm sure it's probably going to be similar to what you have. We really ready to trust Penn State?
That was immediately where my head went. Penn State at number three. I looked at the schedule as a result of this because I was like, is Penn State really? What are the chances Penn State's going to finish the season at number three?
So I guess that's the other question. Because you filled out a ballot before.
Yes. Not for football. I've done basketball
right.
Top 25.
When you did the preseason, are you trying to predict the order of finish? Like, what is your methodology?
When I did the preseason AP poll, I think my methodology was, yeah, who has the chance at finishing atop the poll? That was sort of in the regular season, right? You're not voting based on where these teams or the chances that this team might have to win a championship, but more so, where do you think that they will finish at the end of the season? And Penn State, if you look at the schedule, it's pretty light, but they have two huge games. They have Oregon at home, and they play on the road at Ohio State. Now, we don't expect that they're going to win the Ohio State game, but Oregon at home, like, those are two games. I can close my eyes, and you can say Penn State the brand, and I don't even have to look at the roster, and I would tell you they're not going to finish in the top three. It's just, I don't trust the coach. Franklin does a fine job. They deserve to be a playoff team last year. They obviously had a great season, but I just think they're going to lose those two games.
So, I don't really trust Oregon either. I think the problem is, okay, you've got to rank these teams somewhere, and one team has their quarterback coming back, and the other has a unknown quarterback that we've seen play at UCLA at times flash, but we don't. He's not a steady hand. Could be the upside of Dante Moore could be much higher. I think the biggest problem though, that I have with Penn State is, yes, Drew Aller's coming back, but like, I don't think he's that good. I've just watched way too many games where
he's got Will Levis vibes.
Even in that Oregon title game where they're coming back, like, he's just chunking the ball up and throwing a pick when there was still plenty of time for them to go down and score.
I can't trust Penn State to finish in the top three when I don't, they just don't win the big game that often. It just feels like it's a rarity. The other thing, it's just really hard to rank the SEC teams. It's very difficult this year to figure out where you're going to put these SEC teams, especially when you look at the schedules, because, I mean, I think Texas and Georgia are clear top tier here this year, and I think the next tier is really challenging. Like, with Bama, we don't know what we're going to get from Ty Simpson. We have no idea if he's going to be great. Like, he can go to all these Manning passing academies, all this, and everybody says he's looked incredible in all those settings. But if he's having to play superhero for this team, Alabama's a bottom top 25 team and not a top 10 team. But if he's really good, Alabama might be a top 5 team this year. Nussmeier, I think everybody believes in at LSU. Mm-hmm. Maybe not you, but most people believe in him and think he's...
I believe in his talent.
Yes. But where do you put LSU when LSU is and Brian Kelly are kind of the same thing every year, too? Are they going to be in that 12 to 15 to 16 range? Probably, because that's where they always are. And everybody in the SEC is now going to play these extremely difficult schedules. I think the SEC from top to bottom, there's more danger in the bottom teams of the SEC than there is in the bottom teams of the Big Ten.
100%.
But so some of these teams are going to lose. Does that mean come the end of the season, you know, that that more Big Ten teams are going to get in? Maybe, but it's just, I find it to be really challenging to rank the SEC teams this year outside of Texas and Georgia.
I think they actually got the tiers right though. Like, I think Texas and Georgia deserve to be like in this top tier of the SEC. I think Alabama and LSU is this next tier, and I'm fine with putting Alabama ahead of LSU because Alabama hosts LSU.
Right.
Like, and so I'm fine with that. But to me, another one that kind of sticks out, man, we are really giving Clemson a lot of runway.
Like, I thought you were going to go to Illinois.
Well, we can get to Illinois. Like, Illinois is also one of those teams, though, their schedule sets up for them to be
good. They got the Indiana schedule from last
season.
Yeah.
But like,
yeah, Clemson has a quarterback, and I think that if you have a quarterback, people will put you in the top 10.
They had the same quarterback last year, and they kind of had to backdoor their way into the playoff.
They did backdoor their way into the playoff. They won the ACC championship.
Well, and if Miami doesn't lose to Syracuse, they're not in it.
Yeah. No, I think that if you go look at Clemson's schedule too, there's very little danger on here. I mean, they might lose their opening game to LSU.
Doesn't that say more about the ACC?
Well, yeah. Well, the ACC is just not very good. I mean, unless you believe in Bill Belichick's UNC Tar Heels, they have to go on the road to UNC. They have to go on the road at Louisville. That's somewhat of a challenging game. And then they're going to get South Carolina at the end of the season. So I think the bookends, the SEC teams that they're going to play at the top and bottom of their schedule, they're going to start things off with LSU, and then they're going to play South Carolina at the end of the season. Like that really decides Clemson's season this year.
But then they're also in this reality, though, of they can lose both of those games, go 10-2, then win the ACC championship, and they're probably going to be fine.
But will they be six?
I don't know. I think they are getting a lot of runway because they kind of kept it close with Texas in a playoff game for the second half.
I do want to get into Memphis, but let's talk the other local-ish team here, the Vols at 18. I think they probably would have been higher if Nico was their quarterback still in this poll. I think that they probably would have been where South Carolina is, up in that 13-10 range with Miami, Arizona State, Illinois, and South Carolina. I don't know. Do you believe in the quarterback?
No, I do not believe in Joey Aguilar. I do totally agree with your point, though. I think if Tennessee has Nico, I think that they are closer to the LSU-Alabama tier than they are to the South Carolina, Ole Miss, Florida, A&M tier.
And then the Tigers. The Tigers get how many votes was it?
34, I believe.
34.
I think they were the second highest G5.
Second highest G5 behind Boise State,
who is enters the poll at 25.
What does it say about Memphis that they're already receiving votes? They lost their star quarterback. They remade the wide receiver room, and here they are. Like, people tend to just believe the fact that Memphis has is in a tier above when it comes to G5 teams, I think.
I think also it's important to note this is the coaches' poll, and so I think what stands out to me is that I think most people know Memphis as a G5 job is still a very good job, and that they have the NIL capabilities of putting together a really good roster. I also think it's this weird reality for the fan base where you kind of emotionally feel like this is a reset year because Seth's gone, but the reality is there's every bit the opportunity for this year as there was last year.
Yeah, no, serious opportunity, too. I mean, and we'll see what the Mountain West looks like with Boise State, because would you consider them – who is the biggest competition in terms of G5 for earning a college football playoff spot this year? If Memphis is the best team in the American, who needs to lose in order for Memphis to get in if multiple G5 teams went undefeated?
So – Memphis could have a better setup because Memphis is going to get to play Arkansas. So Boise's big non-conference games are at South Florida week one. They have to go to Notre Dame. I mean, theoretically, if Boise beats Notre Dame.
If Boise beats Notre Dame, it's over. They'll be in.
Correct. They could probably even lose a game. But that's the thing that we're seeing about the Mountain West is that Boise has separated itself from the rest of that league to a degree that the rest of that league's not really spending on rosters. So that league's getting – I still think it boils down to the G5 playoff bid's either going to be Boise, Tulane, Memphis, and then you could talk me into either Army or Navy.
We will see where Memphis falls in the AP poll, which when do we think we're going to get
I think that's next week.
Next week for the AP poll. I suspect they'll probably get a few votes. No? A few top 25
Oh,
votes.
Yeah. No, I think they're going to be kind of where we're seeing them, which is in that 30 to 35 range.
Yeah. Before we get to Chris Harrington, I wrote a story over at the Daily Memphian today.
So last week, whatever. Yesterday was coaches poll. Next Monday's AP poll.
Next Monday is AP poll. Well, we will hope that the Tigers show up on that poll as well. Before we get to Chris Harrington, there is one thing I wanted to make sure I mentioned today. I did write a story in the Daily Memphian about this. Overton Park 9, which, by the way, just a tremendous golf course and such a blessing that we get to have a place that is in the heart of the city, that is so affordable, that is very fun to play. You don't have to be a good golfer to go out there and be able to play it. It's free to juniors, which I think is a huge deal. So you can take your kid out there and like $10 for free. It's amazing. It's truly also amazing what they've done with
elite
that golf
logo.
Elite.
The squirrel with the flag and the tail, elite logo.
What they have done, and I'm not going to lie to you. Like, I've spent a lot of time down there. I've played a lot of golf down there. I've gotten to know those people pretty well. And, you know, I've done the story both years on the Overton Park 99, which is a tremendous event where guys play 99 holes of golf consecutively to raise money for youth golf in the city to make this more accessible to more kids. So, you know, part of this was me just trying to nod to something that I enjoy so much. But they have installed a new Memphis Golf History walkway down there, Jeffrey. It's in as of about a month ago. And I just wanted to mention this because I know so many people are going to get excited about golf this week. It is the FedEx St. Jude Championship week. There's going to be people coming in from out of town that may have lived here in the past that are revisiting in order to go to the golf tournament. And this Memphis Golf History walkway that they installed is really, really cool. One of the best parts of it. So that there's like a section of it that is a nod to all the Junior Open winners, which the Junior Open, for people that don't know in this city, is a big deal. It's probably one of, if not the biggest, like, self-run youth golf tournament of any city anywhere. Like, they
got
this
real
on
history.
It's got serious history with amazing golfers and people that have played in it. And so there's bricks to honor all of the Junior Open winners. And then there's another section at the top that honors all of the people that gave money or donated in order to make the walkway, the course, and all the nice things at Overton Park possible. And one of those people that had a tremendous impact on Overton Park in general, who started up the conservancy, is George Cates. And George, as many of you probably know, he was the father of Andy Cates, who's the chairman of the nonprofit organization that owns the Daily Memphian. But George, who gave so much to the park and really made it possible, when they were scheduled to reopen it in 2022, had three requests. He wanted to MC the opening of the Overton Park 9. He wanted to hit the first tee shot, and he wanted to sink the first putt on hole number 9 so he could say that he owned the course record. And so as I walked the bricks with Parks Dixon, who's involved with the Overton Park 9 committee and so many other things over at Overton Park on Friday, you know, he bought a brick that says George Cates course record, with the opening date. Of course, George tragically died in a plane crash, before the course was able to open. So he was never able to get the course record. But in between the Junior Open and all the donors, it is an awesome ode to all the golf history in Memphis. It has, you know, President Gerald Ford's hole in one.
Number 5 at Colonial South.
At Colonial in 1977. And all kinds of other things. That, you know, Seller Shy, who's in charge of the CBS telecast, golf telecast, who is a Memphian, is honored there. Rachel Heck, John Daly, anybody who had any sort of impact on golf, whether it be the telecasts, you know, founding of courses. Justin Timberlake is on the list. With Miramichi, like anyone that had any impact on golf in West Tennessee of significance, they are honored on the bricks there, and you can go check it out and look at all of the different history. One of the other, one of my other favorite parts about this is, you know, everyone that's interested in golf history probably knows Cary Middlecoff, Memphian, won the Masters and the U.S. Open twice. He's probably the most successful golfer to ever.
Certainly major champion, yeah.
Yes. And so as they tried to put all this history together to come up with the bricks to put them into this new walkway that exists in Overton Park, you know, that's a challenge, right? You're going back hundreds of years of history. Imagine trying to do this for football or for baseball or any sort of other sport that exists in Memphis. Like, it is hard to find all of the names and honor all of the names that had an impact on the game that come from a city of this size. And one of my favorite parts about this was there was a three-time PGA champ, PGA Tour champion, Buck White. And Buck White does not appear in archive stories and books, yet he was from Memphis. He played Overton Park, and the news of the Overton Park renovations got to Buck White's grandson, who I think lives out on the West Coast, who made a donation and made note of the fact that his grandfather actually played with Kerry Middlecoff and was a three-time tour champion. And so just this project alone has helped uncover so much golf history in the city that maybe we had lost or we didn't know before. And so I think that this was a really awesome way to honor everything amazing that Memphis has done for the game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.